There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. But I'm a battle cross, I do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. And I'm the arms of the world, trying to throw it. If you want to step with me, I'm coming after you.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, Marvel Avengers Alliance, number one news source for the game I just said backwards. So I'm trying to respond to somebody on Facebook, as well as look at the game clock going on. So you know what?
Really? While you're doing the intro?
Well, it's a nice 20-second intro. I'm like, oh, I could type this real quick. Oh, no, there's my audible cue. I've got to queue up on the show now. My bad. Hey, so, you know, there's the professional in the room, Brian Ibbett.
Oh, hello.
And bringing soapboxes back into popularity, because he was standing on a soapbox before it was cool, man. Mm-hmm. Soapbox Glotz.
Woo!
Yeah!
So we definitely, you were well missed last week, as we have discovered through all the rampant emails and the questions in the chat room, and seriously, we don't talk about numbers on this show, but it took a hit hard last week because Glotz was not here. I'm just saying. We've missed you, man. I'm glad to have you back.
Shower me with your praise.
You know what's funny is Emmett and I actually play the game. Glotz doesn't give a crap, and yet you miss him the most. I like being the third wheel. I'm used to it. It's cool. So, Emmett, we've got headlines. Don't worry.
It's not cool, but I'm glad you're happy about it.
The new PvP season dropped. Is it too soon? We'll talk about that. Misty Knight is introduced as a character we're going to be able to unlock. Kamala Khan, the new Ms. Marvel. You know, her with the big old fists. Looks like Dave Grohl's character from that Everlong video. Her and Lockjaw have been confirmed additions to the game, maybe even this week. We'll talk about the current Spec Ops. Did you get your Spitfire? Did you get your Baron Mordo? And did you do the Covert Ops and get your Daredevil alts? Also, Tony Sherrill talks about Chapter 10 with Madripoor and Elsa Bloodstone. Whoa, so much stuff. But before we talk about that, what can you buy with your money, Paul?
Good things. We have the Craft, which is the Spec Ops weapon for 64 gold. We have the Rattling Maneuver AISO for Amazing Spider-Woman for 5 gold. Yeah. We've got Whistling Steel discounted from 128 gold to 96 gold. And I didn't write this note, so I don't know what it's referenced to, but OMG the A slash E ISO. Nope. It's in here. Oh. Is that from last week?
That's from last week. Yeah, I tried to say, sorry, because there was a huge E/ISO sale going on last week.
Oh, you silly man. You just set me up to fail. Jeez.
Would you like to rant about it?
No. Pass.
All right, so there are no new Spartans this week that have contacted me. I'm sure every week there are new Spartans. And, of course, if we did a new Super Spartan level, then we'd be doing that every week as well. But if you'd like to just get your congratulations, your shout-outs, and say, hey, this is Sparta. You've made it to 300. Congratulations. We love doing that. Hit us up at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. Or you can tag me directly. If we're friends on Facebook, you can just message me directly, and I'll try to get it put into the notes. Because if you play the game, you should be my friend. I'll be on your alliance.
Yeah, for sure.
So the PvP, that... Did anybody see that coming? Was there any announcement other than about 24 to 30 minutes, maybe an hour ahead of time?
No. I think that was a surprise. Although the fact that they were talking earlier last week about Misty Knight being the next PvP hero, that almost, and when you start seeing the artwork, you know that a release is imminent, right? Usually we get like the remainder of the week that game day happens, and then the next full week before we get a new PvP. This time it was less than, you know, it was like 5 days, basically less than 5 days between drops. And, you know, I guess it almost doesn't matter. I don't know. There's part of me that doesn't mind the short gap between seasons, just because, you know, you want to kind of get on with it. However, they've got a spec ops going. They've got a covert ops. It would be nice to be able to use some of that time to work on those things before PvP. However, again, on the other flip side, I keep flipping the coin back and forth like Harvey Dent. That's a DC reference. No. The fact that this is launching as people were probably getting to some of their longer research breaks in Spec Ops, it gives you something to do while you're waiting for research to complete. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's going to drop eventually, and whether it's a week or a week later, whatever.
I'm still pushing for
shorter seasons.
So. Yeah. Well, yes, we're obviously all pushing for shorter seasons, but we had established early in the day, it was in the last week of Spec Ops, you'll get a PvP launch. And then the last week of PvP, you'll get a Spec Ops launch. It kind of kept a continuous stream of content coming. They got away from that for a while, and it definitely seemed like with the last two or three Spec Ops / PvP drops, it worked that way. Where in the last couple, you know, 5 to 7 days, you got the next thing coming. So this particular case, in the last week of PvP, Spec Ops dropped. It was perfect timing. Like, okay, I'm not going to start Spec Ops yet because I'm just really focused on trying to get Adamantium, which we all know didn't quite work out.
Right.
And then you know, focus on Spec Ops. But then 5 days later, I literally logged in, and I think I was on some mission on Spec Ops that said you had to do so many PVPs. I click on PVP expecting to do a practice. It says starting in 24 minutes, and it was cycling down. I was like, holy crap. And then we were talking about something in our Giant Size Team Up Network group, and I threw it in there, and all of you guys were like, what? Yeah, it blindsided us. So I've been really focused on Spec Ops. Klotz, how is Razor Soccer going, or whatever that game, is that you're playing?
Razor Soccer?
What is man. League something, Rocket League.
Rocket League.
Yeah.
I haven't played Rocket League recently, though they did just release the DeLorean as DLC a couple weeks ago.
Of course they did.
It's only $2 too. I mean, it's awesome. And when you get like exploded, it does the whole, you know, burning out thing and leaves the fire tire tracks behind. It's awesome.
Nice.
Don't get me talking about Rocket League.
Yeah. Does it get a little license plate that spins around? This is out of time left on the ground.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but that would be awesome. I'm busy doing a new Daredevil costume, man. So like,
oh, doing the covert ups for that, yes.
Yeah, right. leave me alone, man. Regular. Like, I'm playing the game.
Well, that's
collecting
that's
those
why.
Envelopes of
admissible
what is it,
evidence.
That's right, yes.
Oh, who was it? I want to say it's Bradley Wesley James Hines name, whatever. That, you know, his four names. Right. I want to say in the chat in our Agents Only Lounge, he put it only in America, or no, he said something about, we prove that you punch somebody hard enough in the face, you get evidence that you can admit in court. That's how we roll in America.
Right.
I was like, where's the extra like button? That was hilarious.
Very well said.
And unfortunately, kind of true.
Yeah. And it's funny because so that inadmissible evidence or admissible evidence.
Yeah.
Has got a great PvP bonus to it. So, you know, at this stage during Spec Ops, usually you just go to the first research item and buy a bunch of those. And usually they have a kind of a nice bonus for your armory. The other, but it's rare that we get a thing where just after we get the chance to buy all those, we get this other task that gives us a bunch of items that are great armory bonus items as well. Now, once you've got them and once you unlock the Daredevil alts, I don't see any reason to keep those, keep the evidence, the admissible evidence. Right. I don't know if there's like a, can you use them for anything? It doesn't look like it, right? I haven't, admittedly, I haven't checked.
I can't remember. I think it had something it does do in battle. So it's an item. But yeah, if you're a non-gold spender, mm-hmm. and you haven't put much into your armory in the last two seasons, then this is a great boost
for
your
sure.
armory.
for sure. Oh,
absolutely. It does match what I already had, which I'd spent silver on. Whatever the silver item was in one of the Spec Ops, like two Spec Ops ago, I spent the silver and got that same 12,000, 12,000, mm-hmm. you know, balance in there. But yeah, it's good. And to answer a question in the chat room, there's been some, they're talking about some issues with the video. I just checked the video on our end, and I mean, from my, it actually broadcasted, but I checked it as a user and it's fine here. So maybe it's something going on with Twitch in your area. I don't know.
We did get the confirmation though. It does give you a debuff, or gives your opponents a debuff, Blind Justice. I'm sorry, it is a buff. Thank you, Onotopia. So it's a buff called Blind Justice. I don't know what it does, but there you go. So it can be used for something. I'd say, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt to keep doing the daily missions and keep busting out as many of those as possible, because
right.
There's no, you know, the only thing you're limited on is energy as far as those daily missions goes. And they're going to drop from all the battles until the time period ends to collect these. So might as well get as many as you can, throw them in your armory, use a few, you know, give it a shot, see what they do.
Yeah. I did grab one of his alts and gave it a run. I'm going to check. Hita Vega keeps saying they get, or other people keep correcting, saying they give a 13K balanced. So I'm going to check to see what item I have that matched that, because I know I had something that matched it. But I did take the alt for a run, and it definitely makes Daredevil more playable. I've already seen him show up in PvP some. Mm. I've had some reports come back to me that say, man, he's just mad. He's hitting so hard. I'm not seeing a huge change. I mean, I never would have taken any of the other Daredevils into PvP. So, yes, this to me bumps him up into viability if you have that kind of team. But I'm not seeing just a – like, Kurth was a huge difference than Spider-Woman.
Sure.
Spider-Girl, sorry. Jessica Jones.
What? No. Spider-Woman isn't Jessica Jones.
Yeah, it is.
What are you talking about?
No, what the hell is she? What is she called?
Jessica Drew.
Jessica Drew. Same, close enough, whatever.
Talk to me in a couple of weeks after Netflix.
Yeah. And okay, so really, we're letting me talk about the details of it. This is where you let the show go wrong, Abe. Back to you, sir.
Okay, so confirmation, by the way, it is a buff called Blind Justice. It's a 3-round buff that gives you a chance to perform a preemptive counter when an enemy attacks. So that actually, the admissible evidence is a pretty nice PvE item. Just in doing dailies for a few days, I've got 145 of those. So even if I load my entire armory with those, it's still... you know, there's still plenty left that I can use for PvE matches. So I'd say, you know, do daily missions as much as possible. Collect all those admissible evidences, throw some in your armory, use the rest in PvE. Boom. Bob's your uncle.
All right. So what I was thinking of, I did have an old silver item that did replace with the admissible evidence for sure. Mm-hmm. I guess I was thinking of the Spider Society goggles, which is not a silver item. Spider Society goggles is either you win them and spins, right, or they're a gold item. So yes, this was a big upgrade. I get a good 1,000 per side upgrade to the silver item I did have before. So
for sure. And the other items that are in there, I mean, the current Spec Ops PvP item is the, let me pull it up here. It's the Magic Salt. Is that right? Am I looking at the right thing? Yeah. Magic Salt. Which is a heavy defensive PvP item, gives you 9,700 offense and 19,400 defense. So take that with a grain of whatever, and stock your armory. If you want heavy defensive items, then spend the silver. Otherwise, go hit the daily missions, get as many of the admissible evidence as you can, and then load up your PvP armory with that.
Yeah. So did you get Mordo?
I did. And it was pretty funny. It was, it was in the basic run of going through and doing group bosses and that sort of thing. The way it came about was, after the second wave of group bosses, I basically needed 4 more, boxes to be able to open 10, and I only got two group bosses that time around from allies. So I went through, attacked the first one, and it gave me one, and then went through and did the second one, and it dropped three. So I had my four, and I was one comic cover shy. This was a pretty good run for me, because I got the first five covers without any duplicates, only one duplicate to get the sixth, and then seventh was immediate, and then I was just kind of stuck in the seventh bar for a while. And I said, well, all right, I'll open these. I've got 10, so I'll open these 10. Sure enough, it's the 10th one. I'm on a conference call with a client, and I open it up, and I get like, oh, yeah, that's great. I don't want to say anything, but I'm like, oh, hey, Marno. But that's awesome. Because I'm going through the spec ops and kind of doing those missions over and over again, there's you don't get a lot of opportunity to use Baron Mordo, because he's blocked out of a couple of those chapters. So I want to level him, but right now he's kind of flight deck fodder until I can start getting into the chapters where I can use him and start leveling him up.
Yeah, so you and I had a similar experience, except I didn't finish out getting him yet. I'm working on it, but RNGesus smiled on me, man. I kept thinking of Klotz. Like, open up the first one, of course, it's new. Open up the second one, instantly new. Open up the third one, instantly new. And I hear Klotz going, RNGesus is smiling on you. And it just went four, five. Yeah, just like that. And then six, I got a duplicate. And then opened up the next one and got number six. And I was like, holy crap, I'm going to have an RNGesus story for the show and everybody's going to hate me again. No, I still have to get one more duplicate to fill the bar to get number seven and then work on number eight. Mm. So that's where I'm at. What about you, Klotz? Have you been doing the bosses? Have you been able to get in and participate in the Baron Mordo hunt?
No, but I'm going to. I just didn't have any time in the last week or so, but I'm excited. I like the characters in this event, so I'm going to play again. Yeah!
Play. Onotopia says there's an XP bug. What is he referring to? I had not seen or heard about the XP bug going on.
Yikes.
Because he said there's an XP bug isn't good for leveling Mordo. Maybe there's an XP bug in the Spec Ops.
Perhaps. Could be. Yeah, we'll have to find out some more information about that. Give us some info in chat and we'll come back to that in a little bit. So Baron Mordo, Daredevil Alts, and of course Spitfire, the reward for Spec Ops. Charles, have you gotten all the way through that?
Yeah. I'm actually running her. She's at level three going into level four. Mm-hmm. And even at first level, no crystals, anything, she does really well. It's a pun that popped in my head, so it wasn't intentional. She's a real Spitfire. I can't wait to really crystal her up and get the AISOs and EISOs on her and see what she does, because teaming up, she was a powerhouse. Level one, she's a freaking powerhouse. So I'm really enjoying her, yeah.
A lot of attacks, too, in her shots, so she's a good one to partner up with people and take advantage of that. But yeah, I love the fact that just her initial attack throws disoriented on your opponent. So running her through the chapters in Spec Ops, I'm having a great time with her, which is really fun to see. So cool. Spitfire's great. We all approve.
Yes. Until they nerf her.
Until they nerf her, right?
Because, you know, Han Solo weighed in on what he thought about playing them, and they're real nerf herders.
Yes.
There you go. I said that was just kind of crappy. Sorry.
Yeah, dad joke. So Tony Sherrill did an interview with, I think it was iDigital Times. It's funny. We sometimes get these iDigital Times articles. Just going to that page launches a stupid autoplay video. These iDigital Times things sometimes appear before the Marvel.com articles that say a lot of the same things. But Tony Sherrill talked to them about a new update coming. So we are getting Kamala Khan. I got to get that right, because she's the first Muslim character to headline their own Marvel comic book. So,
That's right. She's the new Miss Marvel.
The new Ms. Marvel.
MS Marvel.
MS Marvel.
Microsoft Ms. Marvel.
Right. The new MS Marvel 2.0 release. Yeah. But
I have not yet got to read that book. It looks really interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, I picked it up. It is on Marvel Unlimited, and read the first couple issues and really liking it. Liking the artwork is really cool, very different. So totally digging that. She is an Inhuman, and so she's getting paired up with another Inhuman character that we kind of talked about wanting to see in the game before, and that's Lockjaw. She's going to summon Lockjaw as one of her actions. And I guess he's going to teleport in, buff her, and then teleport back out. So she'll also have all that synergy with the more human than human bonus for other Inhumans like Black Bolt, Medusa, Karnak, Crystal, etc. And of course, if you use her with Captain Marvel, then you can get the Marvelous Protege team-up bonus as well. Nice. So let's see. They're saying Kamala. Yeah, Kamala. Kamala. Is that not? Yes, I said Kamala. Anyway, so looking forward to getting her. They're saying that she's going to arrive this week. So keep an eye out for that. Save your CP.
Your CP.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So I did get the teal deer on the bug here. I was told, go read this article. I'm like, no, teal deer for me, because I'm not going to read that. So Nikolai actually summed up. Timmy came back with something for me, which matches, but Nikolai actually gives a really good written rundown here. It's Sim 9 boss completion in the simulator. The 9 boss completion caused forced refresh. Then in Season 2 challenge mode, missions give normal mode XP. And if you get enough XP to level a character and then send them out again, it'll cause a forced refresh. So that's the XP bug that's going on right now.
Okay.
So the simulator actually puts out... I believe it puts out decent XP for leveling. I forget about that all the time, but it will actually do a CVE there. And then in Season 2, I haven't actually played Season 2 since I mastered the most recent chapters. So I didn't realize challenge mode gives out normal mode XP. And then if you're already full of XP and need to train, you better not send them back out.
So no kidding. Wow. All right.
We're getting a patch this week. So that's probably part of it. Going to be part of the fix, I think.
I would assume so, yeah. Good. Yeah, let's hope. And we have an article, or I'm sorry, from the field that talks about reporting things to Playdom so that, don't just assume that they already know about it and that somebody else has already reported it to them.
Right.
Yeah.
The more that people report it, the more important it gets on the Fix This Now list.
Right.
Because you just cannot fix everything at once. There's known bugs. I mean, how long has the mandible been, quote unquote, bugged? Because it cannot be uninterrupted.
Right.
But that's nobody's complaining about it except Nikolai.
So I'm going to send a real, real quick a ticket in to play them and say, hey, I don't think my infiltrator flight suit is working correctly. I don't turn into a big Hulk, a big purple Hulkbuster. Why is that?
Yeah, that's...
That'll go really well.
God, if you could record it in that voice and just send it to them, that
send
would be,
the audio.
That would crack. I think that if I was on the other end as a help desk person, like, oh God, another one of these, and you hit play and you just start laughing.
Right.
It'd be pretty cool.
And then you tack on the SNL skit where he's like, ooh wee, what's up with that? What's up with that?
Absolutely.
So chapter 10, Tony Sherrill also talked about chapter 10 in this article. And says that Madripoor is going to be the location, that they're doing a whole bunch of new backgrounds, some new incursion stuff. We haven't really talked about there being a new chapter in a while, but that is something that is coming to the game very soon. So be ready for another chapter. Also in that article, he talks about Elsa Bloodstone.
But I cannot place the hero, the character.
Well, she's from Frozen. She's the...
I know better than that.
No, Elsa Bloodstone.
I'm casual, not a filthy casual.
Let it go.
Elsa Bloodstone, not a whole lot of references, not one of Marvel's A-list characters, but was a member of the Fearless Defenders, was a member of Next Wave, had her own comic in the early 2000s, 2001. She had Bloodstone, the comic. Kind of like she's a monster hunter, so she's kind of a Buffy the Vampire Slayer kind of thing. Where, or even a Blade kind of thing. So she, it's surprising that we didn't get her as some sort of tie-in for the Halloween thing. Yeah. Right, exactly. But hey, if Elsa Bloodstone is coming, does that mean we might see, you know, Werewolf by Night and other Marvel monster characters besides Dracula, who I'm sure everybody's just loving all the Dracula that they're seeing right now.
Other than the Bruiser version, he's actually fairly easy to fight, which is a nice reprint. I love a good challenge. Like Thanos was a good challenge until we unlocked the Deadpool key on him. But the ones that were just brutal, like the first Ultron, that was just brutal. And those are, I'm glad that we have a group boss that we can actually do something with versus that. I mean, do you remember, okay, a little side note, do you remember when Ultron came out, you had to, at least I had to have a graphic that showed the different heroes that would be strong against the different suits because they would change color yes. halfway through. And you yeah. actually had to have a chart on your desk to fight that.
Right. Yeah.
God, yeah. So yeah, Dracula's fine.
Dracula's relatively easy, and we'll talk about him. Well, I guess we can talk about him now because sure. we're talking about Spec Ops later on in the from the field. We'll talk a little bit more too about the different classes of Dracula and some recommendations from one of the listeners about who to use. But I'm finding for all of them, if I go in there with Spider-Man Noir and Rocket Raccoon, I can usually take him from 20% down to zero. And if he's higher than that, then, you know, I still survive throughout the whole fight enough to get a win. But he's certainly not Karn level, right? I mean,
right,
Karn was a beast. Ultron was a beast.
Yeah.
We've had some really tough group bosses to fight. Dracula is a... He's a good silver pinata, which is great. I think yes. we needed that.
I definitely think, again, you're having that breather in there between the beast mm-hmm. bosses that still pays out the same amount. And actually pays out more silver. I did the research from last week saying I didn't know if it was a debuff thing versus straight hitting. I paid attention. Nope. They put Dracula up to 100% point for point matching your silver.
Yes, which is so good. And, yeah. and something we need so much, especially with, you know, the level 15 edition and pretty much always now having to have a someone training. If you've got the second bay, that mm-hmm. seems like you always want to have one of those bays filled all the time, taking your characters from 14 to 15. Other people are using Union Jack, Rocket Raccoon, Spider-Man Noir. Those are all really good. You know, the multi-hit ones. Fleming FTH recommends Fixer. Fixer is always a good group boss one because you drop those three mines.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah, sure. And you do it as GRP as opposed to, or I'm sorry, GPR. It'd be great if it was GRP because then you just remember group boss,
GRP,
green, purple, red, but it's the other way around. Drop those mines, trigger the mines, and watch the money fly. So those are good recommendations.
Scrooge
and again,
McDuck into your money.
Exactly. Start swimming through your gold coins.
Oh, well, crap.
Or silver coins.
I'm trying
what
to
is,
level.
What is it, Charles?
I pulled a rookie move, man. I'm trying to level Spitfire. I'm playing her on every level, right? And I've got her ready to level up to level 4. And both of my training bays are full with spiders going to much, much higher levels.
Oh, it'll
be
no.
tomorrow. Before I was like, oh, what a rookie move I made. I'm so Aww. Stupid.
Yeah, during Spec Ops, actually, while I've got characters leveling, it kills me because there will be times when those training bays sit open for half mm-hmm. a day, or when one of those training bays sits open. But while I've got A-Bomb, Spitfire, Baron Mordo all in their early levels, I've got one training bay that's just always reserved for new guys, for a new level.
I normally do that. I just wasn't thinking. It was funny. What is funny, Hito Vega put in a group boss suggestion team here. That happens to be my two training bays right now. Silk and Amazing Spider-Girl
oh, really?
Are training in my training bays right now. So I was like, oh, I knew better. I knew to keep an extra training bay open, and I just, because I'm trying to push Amazing Spider-Girl because I want to use her in PvP.
Sure.
As soon as she was ready, I popped her in without thinking about it. And, you know, so in 24 hours, I can actually train my level 4.
That's what happens.
Yep.
And that's it for headlines. We'll keep an eye out for any news about Elsa Bloodstone, how she's going to arrive. Looks like Kamala Khan, geez Louise, it's going to be the hardest name to get used to saying, Kamala Khan And Lockjaw is going to be general release. So look for that. And then, of course, Misty Knight is the current PvP.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to her. Now, I heard something or saw something in our lounge, I think it was, and it didn't trigger at the time to go, wait a second. So somebody said that they called in a distress call and Misty Knight showed up, and that her and Spider-Man Noir just tag teamed whoever they're fighting to death. And actually, if I remember now, I think he said group boss, which you can't pull in a, you cannot pull in a thing. So I don't, I should have paid attention to it. Cause at first I went, oh, Misty Knight's going to be awesome. Then I went, wait a minute.
You can't
even call her in right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can use
unless Tony Stark comes in. I mean, Tony Stark being the computer might have access to the characters before they're technically unlocked.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to get it from another user, but you don't get access to your ally assist during a group boss anyway, do you?
I could be wrong on all of it, but I specifically read that Misty Knight came in and tag teamed with Spider-Man Noir and just decimated whoever they're fighting. And it didn't register till like today. I went, wait a second.
Yeah, because I don't think even Constrictor will pull her in.
Right.
It's only lockbox characters, right, that he pulls in.
I don't know. Maybe it was a big, big joke or something that I missed the punchline on.
Maybe. All right. And that's it for headlines. As more stuff comes in, keep an eye on Agents Only Lounge and we'll post new stuff there. And of course, big thanks to everybody who's been letting us know about articles and things like that for the news over in the Agents Only Lounge. Shall we move along to, now we don't have, is there a PokeProf this week? There isn't, right?
No.
It's taking a week off to kind of get ahead of the game on things.
Yes.
Great. Awesome.
He did a lot of great Halloween stuff. He's like, I'm good.
Yeah. Take a breather. He'll come back at Christmas. Enjoy some of your Halloween candy and we'll jump into, All Hail the King.
Number 90.
Wow.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. For the majority of this segment, I just want to talk about my take on all of the updates and those that are yet to come. According to a recent article, Kamala Khan, who's going to have Lockjaw as a summon, and Elsa Bloodstone are both coming to the game. I actually think this is incredible news, and I'm definitely very excited for their release. A little while ago, I did complain that there were so many new updates, and there's a few reasons why I did that. First and foremost, because I want to try to make videos on all the new content, and I was still finishing up the task list, recruiting Baron Mordo and everything else. So I was just feeling the squeeze. But you know, once things settle down and I have time to reflect, my main line is usually, the more heroes, the better. The more content, the better. The only other concerns of mine at the time were, there ends up being a lot of bugs in the game, and there certainly are right now. So that tends to come with, well, almost every release. Those things certainly need addressed first. And then the other really major concern is, in the past they've rushed out a lot of content, say in a week's time, and then have gone on for 3 and 4 weeks with almost no content or any news at all. But let me just tell you, my concerns are somewhat squashed right now. Because they actually do seem more dedicated than ever to bringing us new content on a consistent basis. In the article, besides coming out with 2 more awesome character releases in the near future, they were talking about a PvP season and spec up every month, and it seems like they really are going to try to deliver on that. What that of course will mean is a very minimal lull in content, and I think that's good for everyone, but I know it's good for me. Right now, I basically have my choice of a number of different characters for the next All Hail the King episode. It's almost like having too much to choose from, but I have decided on using Baron Mordo. Now, for his team-ups, I haven't 100% decided, but I am going to try him with Invisible Woman, who I think will be an interesting team, but that fight may end up taking a long time. Here's the thing about that, though. It's along similar lines to how I won Cable in Season 2. Yes, it took me a long time to win with just the Sinister Scepter, Dots, and the Signpost, but I was severely underleveled and outmatched. So who knows, maybe lower level agents, or those with a smaller bonus or hero roster could use something like this to beat many of the popular teams out there. Who knows, it's a possibility. There are, of course, many items and threats that didn't exist back then that are in the game now, so it may be easier said than done. But we're certainly going to give them a shot. As far as Baron Mordo's other teammates, it's going to be mainly a surprise, but we could choose from a large pool of magic characters, the Horsemen of Pestilence, and actually now, because of the mystical EISO 8, which I happen to have three of so far, we can make someone's attacks also magic. So yeah, I really haven't had much time to try everything out with him. So it's going to be a fun exploration for me as well. Either way though, I'll try to come up with three of the best, or at the very least unique team-ups for Baron Mordo in the next All Hail the King episode. Like I said, it's a very exciting time in the game right now. And I don't know if the player base is increasing, it did seem like it was on the decline. But hopefully it draws some back in and gains new players as well. I think it's kind of a good time to come back or to begin. Now of course, if you focus on PvP, you're going to have a lot of concerns. That's like if someone french fries when they should have pizzaed. You french fry when you should have pizzaed, you're going to have a bad time. I get it. PvP is so exciting, Call of Duty, 360 no-scope. But that doesn't need to be the focus of a player. Honestly, it's just player versus AI anyways.
Right.
And if I was just a casual player, I wouldn't even worry about it. You can just buy the character later. So yeah, my advice to a new player would be, don't even place so much emphasis on PvP. If it frustrates you and you're losing a lot, then just take a break from PvP. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens to me and I've been playing forever. I have so much time, effort, and even money in the game, and I have to take a break. Otherwise, my head might explode. So there you have it. That's my take on the updates, and I think it's a great time to play the game. And I hope it draws players in and players back. The only thing we need now is another chapter in the near future. Say by the end of the month or early in December. I know for a fact that that drives interest. I can see it in my views. So I hope PD hears that and has a somewhat more regular release on chapters as well. Other than that, I think they're doing a great job and I ask them to keep it up and please fix some of those bugs. Anyways, that's it for this segment. I want to thank you all for listening and then send it back to the host.
Thank you, Kingfisher.
Excellent.
That's fine. French five when you should have.
You know, something we didn't talk about was the gold sale. So over the weekend, there was a gold sale, ended Monday. Yeah. And the bonus item was a multifunction item called the Lantern of Doom. It's one of these, like the... Oh, I know I'm forgetting the actual name of it. It was the scroll where you had to do everything in order.
Yeah, so seal of... Was that Uncle Zach?
I think that's right. Yeah, the seals of Uncle Zach or scroll of Uncle Zach.
I broke the seals, but yeah, it had the four seals on it. Yes,
the four seals are the different actions. And this is the same way where you can do action one and only action one, and then you can do action two. But it's an all enemies debuff and then an all allies terracing boost and shield. And it's a pretty nice weapon. I'm trying it out in PvP right now, and it's doing pretty well.
Nice.
So we'll talk more about it and give people a chance. Hopefully it'll come back on sale at some point or be something you can farm in a daily mission. But just tried in PvP, and I think I'm replacing the Hadron Collider with it,
nice.
which is high praise for me. I might bring the Hadron Collider back in and put it in place of the cube. I don't know.
Now you're just talking crazy.
I know it's crazy. That would be the first time that the cube has left my PvP setup. So
I had to leave before the fifth slot was available. I took it out once or twice in PvP for very specific reasons. I cannot recall at this time, Senator. But it was when the fifth slot was back. It was like, oh yeah, no, it's home. You know. So that's very interesting. I saw the lamp. I was very tempted. My bank account, however, was not tempted. So I'm very curious to see how that plays out for you. If it becomes yet another really great. And we all know too. We all know that if there comes a time when they release a gold weapon, because this happened like once, they release a gold sale weapon, and it turns out to be fantastic and a meta changer, they'll actually bring it back as a regular sale for like 128 CP or I mean it's expensive. It is not cheap, but they do bring it back. So if it turns out to be great.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll report back. But first two battles that I've used with, I've wiped the other team out before I get to use item three and or action three and action four. So we'll see. We'll see.
Cool. What is next?
From the field time, and I think you've got this first one. Yeah.
Agent, where's my cat? Says, I found all three of you in the film Inside Out. But fall is joy. I'm having fun. I enjoy it. All right. Emmett is fear. I have to collect one of everything.
This is right after the gold sale discussion. Yeah.
And Klotz is sadness. The game is too much of a grind. Go on without me. Keep up the great work, guys. Thank you.
I don't think you said that sad enough.
I can't. I'm joy. You have to say it.
The game is too much of a grind. Go on without me.
That's perfect. Awesome. All right. Thanks, man. I love these little oddball emails that come out from left field. That's great. I'll take it.
Yeah. Our next email, I'm going to preface with some, you know, some stuff, some inside secrets. If you want to get an email read on From the Helicarrier, here's what's going to really increase your chances. The shorter you make that email, the quicker to the point, the better. Because we've gotten a few in the last weeks that have been...
Novel length.
I want to say, you know, like they were written by Ernest Hemingway or War and Peace, right? So we've got one that I'm going to paraphrase. This one comes from Agent Matt. We're going to put the whole thing on the From the Field page on the website, but we're going to...
You're about to get the Cliff Notes.
I'm going to give the Cliff Notes. Thank you very much. Yes, I was reading ahead. And I don't know why I was doing that. Greetings and salutations to our esteemed hosts. I'm submitting this report in the hopes that you all can devote some time to discussing a problem that seems to be plaguing the game lately and causing countless players headaches. I'm not talking about PvP bugs, game crashes, or no. I'm talking about the black screen of death, the flash problem that several people, including myself, have been experiencing. For me, this has been an issue for seemingly 2 months and has reduced the game to little more than a mobile app that I'm lucky to get to check in on a couple times at best on most days. I'm going to have to rent out Klotz's soapbox here and share some communications I've exchanged with Playdom via their ticket system as an example of their struggles with communication and how that has contributed to my level of frustration with a game I've enjoyed for 3 or more years. A couple weeks ago, I submitted a ticket to Playdom detailing my continued failure to log into the game on my laptop and struggles to resolve the problem despite their suggested fixes. Their response was lackluster, to say the least, suggesting that they were, quote-unquote, aware of the problem, but that there is, quote, no ETA for when a solution could be found. That's it. No description of what the problem is or why their suggested fixes aren't working, just a stay tuned message suggesting that the problem will be fixed, quote-unquote, soon. After more failures, I had had enough and submitted the following nice response. Now, at this point, the rest of this stuff, we're going to go ahead and post on the From the Field page because it's long. It's a lot of great info, a lot of response from Playdom. Well, I don't know if it's great info. It's frustrating to read this and say, wow, this is how much information he's getting back. I will say, I'll read the last part of it. In parting, I'll close not with a rant, but with a tip involving three items: the Fetish of Calamity, the Dread Axe, and the Tactician Safeguard Suit. If you have these items, enjoy, because you've got one hell of a combo on your hands, being able to apply Doom as a quick action thanks to the Safeguard Suit, and then swing the Dread Axe and trigger Doom all on the same turn. Oh, if only I'd worked harder in Spec Ops 24. Mm-hmm. Agent Matt, signing out. So great combo there. And then again, if you want to read the discourse that he had with Playdom, then we urge you to check out the From the Field page on the From the Helicarrier website or thehelicarrier.com.
That sucks a little bit. Because I last week, mid-show, I talked about, of course, not making an A-bomb. And somebody's like, send in a ticket because you're so close. So I did. I sent in a ticket. It took them, I don't know, 3 or 4 days to get back to me. It did take a little while, but when they get back, it was a very pleasant, very nice email that could be summed up with, yeah, we're not going to do anything. But they explained why. I mean, well, it wasn't their mistake. It wasn't like there were CVEs. It wasn't there were bugs. It was, I started the battle. The stupid tournament ended before I could finish the battle. And that battle put me over to get Adamantium. And I was very polite in how I wrote it and this and that and the other. And they were very, very actually had fun with it. It was a very fun response. I didn't save it because I wasn't going to read it on the air. But it's a very different experience than what I've seen most people report, which is more like the email that was sent in here. There's really no communication. It's a stonewall. And it is frustrating. And it's
really frustrating. And this issue with the black screen, I've been experiencing it too. Mm-hmm. For me, I log in. If I get the black screen, I just go do something else. And I look over and usually within a few minutes, like 5-6 minutes, if it's at the worst, and the screen will appear. But it's frustrating if you're doing this on a mobile device, like using Puffin. Yes.
Yeah, that's because, where I get it more is on Puffin.
Yeah, and that's a thing that if you leave it and let it sit, it's, your screen is probably going to fade out and your screen will lock up again, or not, lock up, but like it'll go into power saving mode. And then if you click to unlock it again, you're kind of almost starting over again. So, the best thing to do if you're on a computer is just let it go. Go do something else. Make a sandwich, cup of coffee, whatever. But if you're on a mobile device, God help you. And the more people report it, the harder they'll work on getting it resolved. But it is frustrating.
Yep. All right. Klotz, you've been suggested that you should be Anger from Inside Out.
I didn't actually see that movie, so
I haven't entirely understand it. My kids got to see it. It looks really good, so we'll have to see. We'll watch it, and at some point when we watch it, we'll reassign ourselves. How about that?
I don't know that I'll watch it. I have a problem with animated films, mostly in the fact that I fall asleep during them. when The Incredibles came out in theaters, and also around that same time, the first SpongeBob movie came out, went to go see both of them. Fell asleep in the theater both times.
Wow.
Fell asleep during 9. So these are all like late.
So it's not even, right. And it's not even like all Disney stuff. Like, 9 was a, fairly serious, targeted a little bit more towards the adult side of things.
Yeah.
I think the issue that I have with animated stuff is that it just doesn't strike the excitement tone for me. Sure. So I just kind of like relax and then I'm like out. Like, I guess it's a sleep aid. As somebody who struggled with insomnia at different points in my life, I guess I should have a couple of these videos on hand.
There you go.
But yeah.
That's a good way to resolve the issue.
But that's not what we're here to do right now. We're here to talk about our next letter, which is also, quite frankly, a lovely novel length entry from Agent OKSF877. He requested that I, or no, that was, that's a different letter. Later on, I will read one that was requested that I read it, but not this one. I'm going to do the first paragraph or so of this letter, and the rest of it will appear on the website, just as a warning. These are just a little too long for us to read on air, but, here we go. Hey agents, I would like to share some of the team strategies I've been using against Dracula to do very large amounts of damage to him. 90% plus each fight.
Nice.
Against all versions of Dracula, I bring Heroic Age Iron Fist with the pulpy AISO on level 1, Exploit Webbing on level 2, Rising Up or Personal AISO on level 6, and Manifesting or Gracious on level 9. As a bruiser, I use his character-specific EISO, or whatever you have, it doesn't really have a bearing on his use. As a scrapper, I use the aggressive EISO. Now, in the rest of this letter, he really breaks down what he does against every different version of Dracula. Mm-hmm. It's very detailed. It will go up on the website. It's a great resource. Unfortunately, we only have, like a week and a half or so left of the Spec Ops by the time this goes up. So you'll have to take advantage of it, in that brief window. But it is very detailed and really, really insightful, really well structured. So thank you for submitting this awesome guide, and it'll be on the site. And he says, good luck with the Silver Pinata, Agent OKFS 877. Which I'd love to know if that's a reference to something, because it's...
it does seem like a collection of random letters and numbers all jumbled together,
maybe,
right?
Maybe it's just his password everything.
Maybe he's lived in both Oklahoma and San Francisco. He was born in 87, and he likes the number 7.
Possibly.
All right. Agent Ramey, FDH, writes in, Hello, agents. This is Agent Ramey again. First, happy Halloween to all. It's always ice to listen to the show, as a reference to his last email.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Now, this is a good short email, but I don't want to be left out, so I'm going to put the rest of this on the website. We're just going to move on.
Oh, now, come on.
Fine. You guys get to push stuff on. All right, I'll read it.
This email's nice and short.
My question is, I am three covers away from Sabretooth and Moonstone. If there was a sale in the far future, who should I pick? Saving gold already now, got to 40. Should I just get Enchantress at her sale before she expires, which will be in a few months? Or who is more valuable in PvE and PvP terms? I wish that the new Ms. Marvel is released by the show. So, yeah, well, she wasn't. So happy since she's one of the few characters who's from the Middle East. Bye now and good luck. By the way, my Twitch, Hit Omega, who's been trolling me in the chat room since I said both Spider Girl and Silk are training. That was the first team that he threw up for me to use. All right, so if you see me in the chat room, that's me. Okay, thank you, Hit Omega. So, to answer your question, Sabretooth, Moonstone, Enchantress. Enchantress, by far, for PvP purposes, is your best bet. After that, man, you guys throw in what you want, but after that, I think it's Moonstone with her AISO out there, and then Sabretooth. But all three are decent characters, I think.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense. I'm sorry, looking ahead. I'm changing something.
Yeah, I thought you were
I want Paul to read the next one instead of me.
I forgot. Yeah, you were supposed to.
But yeah, Moonstone for sure, yeah.
Actually, but Paul was actually asked to read. Okay, so it's whatever.
We're going to have him read that one. We're going to have him read the other. Oh.
Yeah, you see?
Oh, both of them they want read by.
Paul did not talk at all last week. He gets to read two emails.
I'm switching it back.
I don't think he could read them both. I don't care.
All right.
I don't think Sabretooth is very viable in PvP anymore right now.
I don't know. People were talking about using him against the group boss and doing massive amounts of damage against Dracula. So
right.
I think Sabretooth is with the right combination, Sabretooth is one to consider. Especially if you've got his isn't it in the ISO that gives him a full or a half recharge if he dies, restores him to half health.
That's just him.
That's just him. Period. That's right. There was another character that had that business.
Yeah. I mean, he's good. Every time I fought against him in PvP, he doesn't do much, and I haven't seen anybody really putting him on their meta teams. Mm-hmm. So in the order, I think Enchantress has to be first, and then Moonstone, and then Sabretooth.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation anyway.
Okay. So Klotz, do you want to read both of these? I think you've got requests. You've got fans who
they love you.
They love you.
Yeah, I'll read them both. I don't mind.
Okay.
Agent Asinico, oh man, writes in.
That's great.
Would Spitfire occur to this morning? She's 4 XP away from being ready for training to level 2. Waiting on one more cover for Mordo, and I'll start farming for CP for Kamala and that interdimensional pup, since I spent all my CP on the alts for Hyperion and Daredevil over the weekend. Hey, DD is useful again now. Black Panther is training level 15 now. Union Jack will be next in the queue. Group bosses for Silver, yay! I hate the bruiser version of Drac, LOL. And then he wrote an aside, I imagine Paul will try reading this in his heartfelt voice impression of me. That's always amusing to me. I love it. Whoa, man.
All right. So those of you who aren't familiar, Osinico is one of the few people I actually call. The number is actually not posted on our website anymore. We had the number posted for a while that you could call and do a voicemail. And when we updated the website, it just kind of got neglected. And we weren't getting that many calls. But he called in one time. And I don't remember exactly what he was excited that he could win. Or that was out there. But he said that I had it on a button. I think I've lost it. But he just gave this big, heartfelt, excited, oh, man, about what was going on. And it does look like that is – it looks like that has been lost in all the different – wait, let's see what this does. Nope, that didn't do anything. So, yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, so it's been lost. So that's what Klotz is doing when he does that. That voice is a throwback.
The funny part is, at least for now. I mean, that was like over a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a while back.
It still is very distinctive in my mind. Like, I think of it occasionally, and like every once in a while, it'll pop into my head and I'll laugh. So, Oceanico, you know, you've had a lasting impression on me. You should know that.
Nice.
Moving on, the next letter is from Agent Averill, and he asked, you know, it would be fun, Mick Klotz, read this report. So I'm going to do it in a really good voice, you know, because that's how I roll. Hey there, Helicarrier. Agent Averill here. Well rested and ready to blab about stuff. First, thank you to Agent Wiggles for answering my questions. Maybe next time I have a question, I can ask the Agents Only Lounge instead. Next, I didn't get to mention last week, but I got my first ever adamantium win. Not the oops, you got angel adamantium. Not the let's bump everyone up so your vibranium gets rocket raccoon adamantium. Legitimate ends with 1812 adamantium. Thanks, Thanos.
Nice.
I think. Should I be thanking him? He prefers that you do. Alas, couldn't enjoy that for long, as a new season is already in session. It brings up a question. Are we going overboard with the magic hate? I know many agents carry some form of magic warding on offense for the ever-present threat of Enchantress on defense. That bitch. Yet, last PvP, I saw many defensive teams with magic warding, and I couldn't understand why. Are offensive teams using magic attacks and debuffs? I figured everyone else used quick kill teams to beat out the other quick kill teams starring Amazing Spider-Woman as that new bitch. So if you need a teal deer, are we overdoing the magic hate by having magic warding on every team? To me, there just doesn't seem to be enough magic presence to justify it. Maybe few believe in magic anymore. Sad face. Yeah. That's all for now. I'll save my lab entry for next time. Back to the mines, people. Agent Averill. Come on, EISO that gives sacred.
So I don't know if he realizes that a lot of Null's attacks have been the Meteor Storm was rated magic a while back, but I believe I heard there was more of his attacks put into magic category. Of course, there's Enchantress. And there was somebody else that there. I want to say that their attacks got lumped into the magic category. Did Kurth get some magic? Because I know she has fear stuff for sure. I can't remember if she got magic as well, but it became this. Oh, hey, we're gonna protect ourselves against these massive. They were quick kill teams that also became magic. So once you took the magic warding, you put that on your team. They're no longer quick kill teams anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's where a lot of that came from, I think. And I would love – it's the meta. I mean, it's just what it is. I'd love to get rid of the stupid gun out of my inventory so I can actually use a different weapon I'd like. But, you know, it's what you got to do.
For sure.
So.
Now, since I didn't read those, Charles, do you want me to read this last one?
You do what you do, Emmett.
Okay, then I'll read this last one. I don't know what that means, but
I don't know what that means either. I could come up with anything. Sure.
Agent Northrup from the Helicarrier here. I had lost the will to play Seance. he did write Seance, but I think he means Sense. I had lost the will to play since level 15 came out. I still log in and play a bit, keeping the flight deck going. At the first of the last Spec Ops, there was an item that cost the same as all the rest of past Spec Ops, 2,000 silver and 10 shield points, but you could sell it right back for 10,000 silver. So there was an 8,000 silver profit plus 10 shield points, 8,000 silver. So I did it and made 80 million silver.
What? Wait. What is the item?
This was a bug.
What is the item? I would have turned a profit too.
I think it's gone. I think it's been fixed. Because I remember there being talked about a while back. Yeah. So he didn't made 80,000 or 80 million silver. I told a few friends, but it stopped working in 30 minutes. Because of that, I now have 41 level 15s.
Nice.
I did not try on the last three PvPs either, so now I have something to farm for again. But this Spec Ops has gotten me back into the game again, so here's to hoping I can get back to adamantium again in this PvP.
Well, good on you, sir. you know, I don't know how many level 15s I have. Haven't really felt the need to check yet, but I think I should. We know we don't have as many as Nikolai. I mean,
Nikolai is barreling through those, man. I think I've got probably about 20 level 15 characters, because basically as soon as one's done, I'm only leveling them really on the flight deck, except for the ones that I've used in PvP. But Yeah, I think I've only got maybe 20 maximum. Soon as one's done, or soon as one's ready, I just put in the queue for leveling. But I can check out after I'm done this, done with this current PvP match. Dude, I'm liking the Lantern of Doom. It's nice. A really nice weapon. Wouldn't have checked it out. I would have just forgotten about it had somebody not mentioned in the chat room. So big thanks to you guys in the chat for bringing it up.
Yeah. Now, little side note, because I saw it pop up in the chat room. Jay Wyatt was 469 sent us a video through Facebook message. And I'm kind of going back to my old thing. So he and I were discussing using the Master Sword a couple episodes ago. Well, okay, back in September, we were talking about the Master Sword and how we're like, man, it doesn't look good. On paper, we don't understand it. And he's like, you're way off. I waited 2 years for this thing to come back around. It has a 50% chance to counter for each of the opportunist debuffs on target. So it goes off a lot, is what he's saying.
Wow.
I said, wow, I didn't know that it had a 50% per opportunist debuff. So he's using it with the new scroll for opportunist debuffs, which this was in September as well. So whatever the new scroll was, I don't think there's been a new scroll since September. So whatever the last scroll was. And the Devourer from the Son of the Demon set for area attacks and follow-ups and counters. And he just sent this video that I'm going to run real quick. I hope it doesn't crash the show. And you won't hear it. But I wanted to watch it because he says he takes Dracula down in one hit. And it's a very quick, it's less than 30 seconds. So I'm going to narrate it here. So he pulls up, what is it, Bleeding Defender. I can't quite tell what that weapon is. Breaching Kit. Breaching Kit. That's what it is. It was too small of a prank. Bleeding Defender turned into Breaching Kit. So he did that. And then there was a chemical explosion, blast wave, 48,000. So he had to do some setup. I can see where he's done some setup leading into that. I can't tell what the setup was. So he had to use his phone to do this, but one of the henchmen's already gone, so you could tell he did some kind of setup. He shows what's on Dracula, but it's really hard to see on the screen. Let me see if I can blow this up real quick.
Can we you think we can put that video in the Agents Only Lounge?
Yeah, absolutely, we can do that. So definitely, if you're in the Agents Only Lounge, you're going to see what he's built up. But man, he does a breaching kit, which hits for like 700, and then there's something else for then this blast wave comes in and it hits for 50 grand.
Wow.
One hit. That was nice. So, yes, we will put that up on the lounge. That's a good call. And do it that way. So, any tips before we get out of here this week?
Here we go. I have 16, by the way. 16, level 15. So, not even as many as I thought I had. Any tips? Yeah, dailies right now are your best friends. So, do the dailies as much as possible. Not only are you going to get the admissible evidence, but if you really power through them and use some of those teams that are the set it and forget it teams like Rocket, Spider-Man Noir, Union Jack, blah, 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 all those, equip the mandible, equip the rapier, then you can farm through those really quick and get CP after about 5 or 6 run-throughs. You'll also get all the goodies that you get every time you beat the final boss. But you'll also be acquiring CP, which right now looks like CP with the Daredevil alts, with Kamala Khan. If I say it slower, then I'll probably be able to do it. The problem is I want to zip through it. Kamala Khan. With her and Lockjaw coming and Daredevil alts and other things on the horizon, I think CP is going to be the resource you want to really, really buckle down and start earning. So that would be my recommendation is to hit the dailies as much as possible. You know, obviously work on your PvP, work on the spec ops, get things completed. But anytime you can 5-star anything and get 5 CP for it is a good day.
Agreed. I've got 14 level 15s. So.
Oh, wow. So you're just a shade behind me, see?
Yeah. Yo, Nikolai, though, he has so many 15s that whenever they release Kamala, she's just going to pop into his inventory as a 15. You know,
right, they're, exactly.
He's already done all the pre-work on her, ready to go. It's going to be awesome.
I have a couple tips. I have 15s, but I have a couple tips.
Let's hear them.
The first tip is I shared a video from a web series that I absolutely love called Extra Credits. I shared it in the Agents Only Lounge. It's about the Fallout shelter. free-to-play app.
Yes.
But he runs through the fact that this pertains to MAA because what they discovered with Fallout Shelter is, despite not having any PvP mechanics, the game was wildly successful, and it made a lot of money. Though its pickup has waned a little bit now that it's been out for a while, but built on the interest in the franchise alone, and people played it despite having what is considered to be mechanics that hardcore players don't really care for, and no actual PvP to like drive sales. He reveals the fact that basically developers really see PvP as a major revenue driver, and they think that they often think that it's necessary to get people to keep buying things. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that it's not the case. People were happy to spend money, and this game was very successful despite not having any of that gotta have it right now to compete aspects of the game. Really cool video series. I mean, if you're into game design as a concept and like, you know, the way things are changing and shaping, great series to tune into. But that particular episode really illustrates some of the stuff I was talking about in the past with the, you know, the monetization scheme and how it's a little crazy to like always have this stuff coming out all the time. So good watch. The other thing is, I was really inspired by that letter we just got about the reselling spec ops items.
Yeah.
You know, it's always interesting to encounter something like that because, like, you have to ask yourself, is this an exploit or not? You know what I mean? Is this something that could potentially get me banned? Mm-hmm. And that's always a scary thing. And I mention that because I've been playing Star Wars Old Republic again recently. And there's a couple of things going on right now with all the major sweeping changes they just did where there's some little tricks to do certain things. And I'm like, I'm always just sitting there like, oh, man, am I like, is this pushing that line? You know, am I going to get, you know, in the Star Wars case, they just gave everybody who was a subscriber a level 60 character for free. And you can make those characters and then log into the game and try the class out. And as long as you don't level 61, you can delete that character and get your token back to make another free level 60.
Now, is basically, that an exploit or is that on purpose?
That's on purpose. However, the exploit is that they give you a full set of level 60 equipment that is bound to your legacy, which means it's bound to your account on that server. Okay. And you can go throw that in your legacy bank and then
use it for any character.
Any character that's level 60 or above can. Now, I did it. I took a set of each of the different classes' armor because I wanted it for aesthetic reasons. I wanted the costumes, if you will, because there is a costume feature. But I was sitting there and I'm doing it, and I did it for like an hour, and I'm making a new character and putting this stuff in the bank and then like, you know, deleting it and doing it again. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, is this going to get me banned? And is this worth getting banned over? My gut instinct is usually if it's not completely game breaking, in this case with Star Wars, it really wasn't. You're probably not going to get banned, but you got to be real careful about the ones that really disrupt the economy. Mm-hmm. So when you encounter something like this, if it's going to let you kind of cheat, as in like majorly progress in the game, take a moment to consider it because you might not be able to turn back once you've done it. So
that's a tough one. I don't know if I'd be able to resist, but yeah, you're right. It's totally.
Oh yeah. No, totally. Like it's one of those things. It's like, because similarly, I was worried I was going to get flagged as like a gold farmer because I got really lucky and bought something in their auction house, like my first or second day back with literally all the money I had at the time. I spent 26,000 credits to buy something, spent my every last penny, and then I sold it for just shy of 1 million credits.
Because holy cow.
Somebody had either listed it wrong or just didn't know its value.
Jeez.
And I turned around and I took that money. And in the transitory period after the new content came out, there was a week of early access, and then everything came out this past Tuesday for everyone. I was buying the new equipment that came out in that patch and reselling it. Like, people were just listing it for the minimum cost the auction house was generating. I was buying it and flipping it for – I was doubling and tripling my money. And I've been doing this for 2 weeks now. Nice. And I made millions of credits in this game. I mean, like, it's insane. And I'm like, am I going to get flagged as a farmer? Because I'm literally generating so much that I definitely am going to show up on a report. You know what I mean? Because this is the kind of money people just don't stumble into. You know, you don't usually just have, You know what I mean? And not this repetitive thing. But if they look at my account, they're going to see that it's all legitimate. I bought everything on the GTN, the auction house, and then I resold it. And I just worked the market.
That's just that's just market politics right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, for me, I love doing that in games. I love getting into a game that has an economy and finding a way to dig in and find opportunities to really, you know, profit. Like, I love it. It's really fun for me. It's like a whole secondary game. I mean, my friends were like making fun of me because I hadn't finished the main story quest for my new character yet. They're like, "Are you going to actually play the game, or are you going to keep playing the GTN?" And I'm like, both. So cool. You know, if you see something that's like exploit worthy, like if it seems like it could be an exploit, be real careful. But there's also, whenever there's a time of major change in a game, there's often an opportunity to find a way to profit from it. And I did that in Star Wars, and I had a lot of fun doing it, and I got to buy a lot of stuff I wouldn't normally have been able to afford. Like, I have a whole garage full of mounts and stuff now. So, you know, look for those opportunities and take advantage of them, but always keep in the back of your mind, if it seems too good to be true, it might be.
Awesome. So, all right. That, Mike's going to pipe in for us.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes, on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.